This holiday season, find what you love at Total Wine & More. With so many great bottles to choose from, it's easy to find a new favorite Cabernet or Chardonnay or the perfect gifts for everyone on your list with some help from a friendly guide. And all with the confidence of knowing you found something special for the lowest price. Find what you love. Love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More. Curbside pickup and delivery available in most areas. Visit TotalWine.com to learn more. Drink responsibly. Be 21.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Drop a beat.
Yes, this is Munich singing John Denver as one.
This is awesome.
This is literally happening. Listen to this.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, two-time Super Bowl champion Chris Long, three-time Academy Award nominee Sylvester Stallone. Still to come from the new film Devotion, actor Glenn Powell. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air here on the Roku channel, free on all Roku devices and Samsung Smart TVs and Amazon Fire TV and on the Roku app. The Roku channel is free there, therokuchannel.com. And if you missed any of the first 2 hours with Chris Long or with Sylvester Stallone, we re-air right away as soon as this hour is over on channel 210 on the Roku channel. And we're also on an on-demand version of this program. Also, the Rich Eisen Show Collection, it's called. I kind of dig that name. I got to be honest with you. I didn't come up with it.
Fancy,
I appreciate that.
Huh?
Yeah, man. There's a whole new sports world available on Roku, and we're thrilled to be planting a flag for that. We also say hello to our SiriusXM audience, Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network, coast to coast. We also say hello to those listening on Odyssey. And our podcast, we always appreciate those who listen to us on demand as well. We're live, we're on demand, it's all great. And we're on social media at Rich Eisen Show on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. And
we're
also
official, Rich. We're official.
Yeah, we're official. We got the blue check mark and we're official. And
like
it didn't cost us
$8.
Nobody put
still
over
free.
$8. And also, we're thrilled to be on YouTube as well, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. I'm a fortunate guy, man. By the way, Glenn Powell is going to be joining us in studio, his new movie, Devotion. He's going to join us in about 18 minutes' time.
Yeah.
I am a lucky guy. I'm very fortunate to do what I do for a living, to sit here on the show with you guys and to have you folks listening to us and watching us every single day and interacting with us. And I'm so lucky to do what I do for NFL Network. And this past week was just a fresh reminder of it. My trip to Munich and calling the first ever regular season game for the NFL in Germany in Allianz Arena, home to Bayern Munich football, and being in that town all week long and visiting the Seahawks in their practice at the Bayern Munich team practice facility in one part of town, and then visiting with the Buccaneers in another part of town for the academy that Bayern Munich has set up, which is a beautiful facility in itself. It's for the kids who are, you know, who are good at their version of football, at the football, and maybe they play for Bayern Munich one day. It's unbelievable. And being in that town and meeting so many folks from Germany and around the world that came in for that game is a top five experience for me with the NFL Network. I'm telling you, I met Buccaneer fans from Angola and Seahawk fans from Sweden, and met somebody who came into the game from Afghanistan, someone who came from the game from Spain, from all over Europe, from Africa, because this is as close as the NFL has come in Germany. And there's no doubt in my mind the NFL is going to go back, because not only was it and Munich is a much smaller city than London. And it transformed the town. And London absorbed it. Like, there are parts of London where you had no idea there was an NFL game in town. Pretty much everywhere you went in Munich, there was a billboard of Tom Brady. There was one of Levante David. I mean, it was everywhere.
That's cool.
Because it's a Bucks home game. There were more Bucks than Seahawks on billboards. Seahawk fans came out of the woodwork. They were everywhere.
Sounded like they were.
And
had a majority of
the I walked down the street with Mooch on Thursday, So he wanted to get a little fresh air, and I'm like, I'll walk with you. Because I walked the gardens of Munich by myself on Thursday morning, and it was just a great head clearer, just amazing. And walking with Mooch, somebody stopped him and wanted a photograph with him. And he's a diehard Falcon fan from Germany because he started watching YouTube videos when the Falcons weren't very good, saw them and wanted to join a team that he wouldn't be accused of being a bandwagon jumper.
That's cool.
I did an Instagram live of me walking on a Saturday. Yeah. I had a couple hours to kill. I'm like, I'm just going to go walk in to the beer gardens. I'm just going to go there. And I Instagram live me walking around like I was a kid, you know. And I just ran into so many fans. I ran into two guys from Sweden who stopped me. And one of the guys from Sweden says to me, you know, I watch you on Sundays. Get out of here. His friend had no idea what game day morning was. So he explained to him, that's the guy right there. It's my buddy. He said to me that he watches game day morning and explained to his friend that it's a show about football that, you know, talks about the games, and then they pick the games and put on a hat and go, ow! Is what he said.
In German, right?
No, in English.
Oh, he's being
English? Yeah, he's from Sweden.
Oh, got it.
Yes! And I'd explain to his friend what a lone wolf was and, you know, all of that.
Ow.
And they were drinking what's called Glühwein. Had no idea. It was like this hot wine.
Yeah, I've had it.
So I, you know, I'm like, let me go. I'll go get one. Like, where do I get one? They pointed to some spot, and I went in the middle of this whole area, and I went online, and I said, because I'm on Instagram Live. I Instagram Live the whole thing. I said, you know, out loud, I'm like, how do you say three Glühwein, please? And somebody wrote, drei Glühwein bitte. So I saw it on the screen, and I said it. And I ordered it, and I brought my new friends from Sweden, this Glühwein. At which point, some guy walks up to me in a Buccaneers jacket, full-on Buccaneers jacket, and says to me, swear to God, in the middle of Munich, he says to me, aren't you Susie Schuster's husband?
No. Really?
And I'm like, why, yes. And he said he takes in our show every day, the day after, and he said he reached out to you, Chris, to say if he could, you know, he was in town for the game and wanted to hang out.
He hit me up on Instagram and asked me if you were doing any meetups while you were in town. I'm like, I don't really know what the schedule is. Just, I'm sure he'll be out. Just see if you can find him.
And so that's the way
see if you can find him.
That's the way we ran into each other.
That's amazing. Yeah, he sent me the photo that you had taken.
And so, he had me at a low when you say that to me in Munich.
I mean, he's obviously a fan of the show.
And then there was a Jet fan and a Patriot fan and there, you know, the Jet fan had a Germany Jet fan, like some German Jet fan club, and it's unreal. They're such NFL fans in Germany. Unbelievable. And then the game itself, I'm getting goosebumps just saying it. It had a Super Bowl-like feel to it. It did. By that, I mean neutral field. I know it was painted Buccaneers red, but there were fans, Seahawks fans were there.
It sounded more
and there
Seattle,
were, and
I
there
thought.
Were And there were fans of every team there. It was neutral field. It was eventized. It was huge. Like, there was a whole to-do build-up for the week, just like a Super Bowl. Then you get to the stadium, and there's entertainment before the game. It was some guy in some, like, white mask looking with you know, glasses that wrap around glasses. It was like something that you would think like Sprockets. I'm not gonna lie.
Now it's when we dance.
And I just thought to myself, how cool would it be? How cool would it be if at the end of this performance he takes off the mask and it's Gronk? That would have been amazing. It would have been unbelievable.
Right? Gronk.
And so there was pregame entertainment, build up all week. Neutral site, and Tom Brady's playing in the game.
Yeah,
that's
man.
Super Bowl.
That's all you need.
That's Super Bowl. Big national anthems, both national anthems played, and it was unbelievable. And the German fans and everyone in that stadium was into every snap. And then we're the games had a little bit of everything, a lot of punts to start, then Brady touchdowns. Brady to Julio Jones is the first touchdown in the history of regular season football in Germany. Leonard Fournette, who had a passport problem similar to what I believe Peter Schrager of Good Morning Football had as well. Did you know that you can't travel if your passport's within 90 days of expiration?
I did not know that. That's what it was?
Neither did either one of them.
Wow.
And Fournette told me when I saw him on the field, because I went up to him and said, thanks for calling in the show. And so I hit up Bavarian Lenny, and he told me that the passport arrived 4 hours before he got on the plane.
That's crazy.
And he scored a touchdown. And the Seahawks then come back, bunch of turnovers, including a Lombardi Lenny, Bavarian Lenny interception targeting Tom Brady, who slips and gets called for tripping on one of the most wild plays you will see.
Wild. Because they were shredding him on that drive.
They were.
They didn't have to do a trick play.
They didn't have to do it, but they did it.
And it was going to be a 21-3 game at that point.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But then the Seahawks then go down and have a red zone turner of their own. And then the fourth quarter hits. Geno Smith scores one touchdown. They pick off Brady, who hadn't thrown an interception in 399 attempts. He was four attempts without an interception away from breaking Aaron Rodgers' record for most without an interception. Seahawks then get on a fourth and one. They throw it twice, including the second one for a touchdown. Marquise Goodwin made an incredible catch. And sure enough, though, the Bucs ice it on a run from Rashad White after the two-minute warning that was filled the entire time with the entire crowd singing John Denver.
John Denver.
Country Road, Take Me Home. And I had no idea the Germans would know this or internationally. That they knew every... I've never heard this, so we're coming back from break. And I'm thinking to myself, I hope they're still going, because I want people to hear this.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mark Tottleman, our fantastic producer, gets in my ear, goes, we need a promo to say the postgame show's coming up next. And I'm like, okay, but I don't think I'm going to say that. I just need to be quiet and let people hear this. We come back, and I do say, like, postgame show's next. And I'm like, they're singing John Denver here. Like, it was karaoke.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it not only kept going through the commercial break, Brady snapped the ball, handed off to Rashad White, who went over 100 yards while they're still singing the song. And the game's over, and they started playing Sweet Caroline and Don't Stop Believin'. And nobody left, and they sang in unison, all 70,000 of them, for that, too.
So great.
It was a party. I will never forget it.
Yeah, man. That's awesome.
And you know who won't either? A guy who's been there and done that. And another first, Tom Brady is the first quarterback to win a regular season game in Germany, and had this to say.
Yeah, that was one of the great football experiences I've ever had. So says a lot for 23 years in the league and for a regular season game. And I think the fan turnout was incredible. It felt like very electric from the time we took the field. So at the end of the game with them singing Sweet Caroline and Country Row, that was pretty epic. So I think everyone who's a part of that experience got to have something pretty amazing memory for their life. So thank you for hosting us. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Unbelievable. And just when you think, oh, he won the games, of course he feels that way. Here's the coach who lost it. This is what Pete Carroll had to say.
I've never seen a crowd like this. I've never been in a stadium where a crowd was so much in unison and connected like they were. You know, we've been in loud stadiums and really louder maybe even, but never where everybody was. I don't know how do they do that. I don't know how they all sing exactly the same like that, but it was really a spectacle.
It's...
Pete.
It's true. Honestly.
That's so great.
It is unbelievable.
Oh, man.
What a spot. What a place, what a week. I hear, you know, I guess they might be going back to Frankfurt next year. Well, the bar is set, man. The Wunderbar is set high.
Yeah, let's do
you
it.
Know, and oh my goodness. I'm hearing Spain and France maybe next. I mean, count me in to call those games too. the NFL, when I was first starting, the whole idea of the NFL, the whole idea of the NFL in Los Angeles was not even in the realm of being possible. Dream. It so fit in Germany. It fit. Now, the idea of having it there on a regular basis, 1,000,000%. Having a team there, I don't know, man. I mean, it
that's tough.
The jet lag and the travel. I don't know how that team could go west and play a game.
Oh, gosh, can you imagine?
I can't even imagine.
I mean, 9-hour time.
I can't even imagine. Yes, it was a 9-hour. They went, the Seahawks traveled nine time zones.
Pacific. It's a nice place to visit. But
I don't know how it's sustainable.
On a regular basis.
But in terms of sending a game there every year, 1,000,000%. There shouldn't be a year when the NFL doesn't play in Germany from now on.
Two. Why not? I mean,
unbelievable.
Yeah, it's cool.
I honestly, if I'm raving, there's a reason why I'm raving. I'll never forget it. And it was awesome. The glue vine
flowed.
It did. Unreal. So, 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let us take a break. Glenn Powell is here. He's got a new movie called Devotion. Last time we saw him, it was Miami.
Right.
For the Super Bowl between the Chiefs and the Niners. He was promoting years in advance Top Gun Maverick, but now he's here talking about another movie that involves jets and flying. Devotion, coming up next. Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. After all, who doesn't love a great deal, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for all the things in your life, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners, condo, or renters coverage. You could save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And choosing to switch to Geico becomes an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food, the sweet, salty snack you need this holiday season. Air Pop Popcorn, tossed in delicious white cheddar cheese or mixed with sweet caramel and cheddar. It's the perfect snack for your smart holiday party. Shop now at snacks.com.
Glenn Powell is here. Our terrestrial radio has just returned. We're talking about the movie Devotion. We just saw an amazing clip of this film that's starting in theaters next Wednesday, November 23rd. You're an executive producer on the film. And so you're on a fishing trip and the book came to your attention at this point?
Yeah, one of my buddies recommended it to me. So I got the book for the fishing trip and all of my family was all reading the same book. So we just talked about it over the fishing trip and ended up, while I was shooting a movie in New York, I ended up driving to Concord, Massachusetts, sitting down with Tom Hudner, who I play in the movie, sitting down with his whole family and asking for their blessing to tell the story. And they gave me it and had to make a promise to them and the Brown family that I'd tell it right. And here we are 5 years later and it's finally coming out Thanksgiving.
No kidding.
Yeah.
By the way, Concord, Massachusetts, as if that place doesn't have any
history. I know, the most patriotic. I mean, this movie is just reeking with American everything.
So I assume you're happy with the way that this turned out then.
It's
pressure. I mean, you had a responsibility here, not just to the families, but you just talked about what it means to your family as well.
Absolutely. Well, that's the other thing is that not only, you know, you get one shot to tell these guys' stories, so you make that commitment to the family. And I'd never done a movie and then I felt that pressure before. Like it was a lot of pressure. When you make a promise to do something and do it right, you just hope you can kind of follow through on it. And I'm just so proud of this movie. This movie is just, it's an intimate story of friendship and what it is to be a wingman and what it is to be an ally. But it's just told against the backdrop of this epic war, you know, a war that no one really knows that much about. So it's just this movie's for everybody, but I think families are really going to respond to it on Thanksgiving.
Well, I mean, you're outstanding at movies for everybody. You know, and I'm not just talking about, obviously, Top Gun Maverick. Hidden Figures was a beautiful movie. And you want to talk about an important story to tell that also involved race and also involved something of significance in American history. That's enough. My kids love that movie. And it's another one that you could sit down with your family as well.
Thing is that you look at a movie like that, and I realize that movies can really change people's lives.
Right.
When you, no one knew who Katherine Johnson was. She was part of one of the biggest moments in American history in terms of getting John Glenn into orbit, and no one knew her name. After that movie, she's on buildings. Her name's known around the world, especially around NASA. It kicked off an entire generation of young women, especially African American women in STEM. And so Devotion, Jesse L. Brown, no one knows his name. First African-American naval aviator. And after this movie, I really feel like that's his name should be on everyone's lips. And I think that's a really cool thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. And I hope, you know, this conversation does a small part in that. Devotion, available again exclusively in theaters next week on Wednesday, November 23rd. It's based on the best-selling book of the same name. Glenn Powell is here in studio. And so do you like doing movies that involve flight and you wear a uniform? I mean, is that something that you,
I just like wearing a flight suit, man. It's really funny because I actually optioned this like 5 years ago and then Top Gun came about and then I shot Devotion right after Top Gun. So it's really crazy that I have two naval aviation movies coming out the same year. It looks suspicious, you know, but at the same time, like they're both so different and they complement each other in great ways, but we actually have the same aerial photographer, the aerial cinematographer on Top Gun is on this one, but we're just doing it with totally different planes.
Of course.
Yeah. So, I mean, these planes that we are flying in this movie, the Corsairs and the Bearcats, the amount that we have in the air flying this close to each other, it hasn't happened since the Korean War. So we're pulling planes from all around the world in order to kind of make this visual aerial spectacle really feel real to the audience.
Is it true? Are you an actual pilot as well? You have a pilot license?
Yeah, I got my pilot license.
Okay.
So I've been flying around quite a bit. Not these guys that you see in the movie. These are these planes are very old. I mean, like 70-year-old planes. I prefer to fly something a little newer.
Did you take a crack at flying one of these planes at all or no?
Yeah, we flew in the, because
I know you're shooting in the planes. I'm just wondering, did you personally take a crack at flying?
Not alone.
Okay.
I'm not flying any of these things by myself. There's always a pilot up there.
Sure.
Because these things are also, like this helicopter I fly in the movie, so old, they needed a part from the Smithsonian to fly.
Okay, now.
So it's like, you're talking about, like, I wouldn't want to be up in that plane by myself.
But it's not like a library book where you have to borrow it and bring it back when you're going to the Smithsonian. No. But is that literally what?
That's above my pay grade. I have no idea what that part did.
But you're an executive producer.
Good point. Good point. I should know the answer to that. But it really is crazy. When I got on the ground, every pilot that's flying these old warbirds was like, wow, that was the most dangerous thing we did in this movie. And they're like, I was like, what do you mean? They're like, that is the oldest helicopter in the world. And you were in it, you know, doing some dynamic stuff.
Damn. So. Now, I don't understand. Ooh. Like, hey, we had to go to the boneyard to get a part or something like that. But you had to go to an actual museum.
A museum.
So somebody goes to Washington, D.C. and say, where's that exhibit? Well, it's on the set of Devotion.
Totally.
So it is.
Yeah, totally.
I like it. Fantastic. Yeah. Glenn Powell here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right. I've got a few items from your career. We like to play with our celebrity guests called Celebrity True or False.
Great.
So you have to say what's true and what's not true that we learned from the internet. And we have some great, terrific production value to go along with it. Please hit it.
Celebrity true or false?
You can't handle the truth.
There you go. Very good. First up, Glenn Powell, true or false? Denzel Washington convinced you to move to LA when you were 17. Is that a true story?
True story.
All right. Walk me through that.
Oh. I did a movie that Denzel directed called The Great Debaters. And we had a great time together, really got along with him. We went down to debate camp, rehearsed with him. And then when I actually shot the movie, my entire role in that movie, I did it in one take. And he's like, that's how it's done. And then we just ended up grabbing dinner right before the premiere. And he's like, you should give this a shot. Like, he's like, I had such a wonderful existence. I love my family. I love Austin, Texas. I didn't want to, I had seen so many of my buddies move out to LA and just, they come back with their tail between their legs. Yeah. They have no personality anymore. They hate themselves. Whatever dark thing happened in LA, they were like, I'm not doing that. So I was really hesitant to give it a shot, but Denzel was the one that said, like, hey, you're tough enough and you can do this.
So you're saying you're 17 and was it your first movie and Denzel Washington is directing it?
Wasn't my first movie, but okay. it was definitely early on in my career. And yeah, Denzel was directing it. Pretty wild.
What was that like?
I mean, he's just the coolest. Denzel's exactly who you want him to be. He's just he's the best. But yeah, to get pushed out of the nest by Denzel is like, you kind of have to listen to that.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
That's not a bad guy to follow.
Yeah.
Next one. He was our guest in the second hour, so this kind of fits. Sylvester Stallone once gave you bodybuilding advice. Is that true?
Yes.
What was that?
When I was shooting. Oh, yeah, look at that.
Look at that.
Yeah, we were shooting this movie, Expendables 3, in Bulgaria. And I was like, you know, you're trying to be ripped, you know, for Expendables. You don't want to be like the scrawny guy on set.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you know, working out like crazy. And Sly's like, you're wasting your time. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like,
you're wasting your time. You know,
you have to, if you're going to talk, Lex, like,
but he was literally right. Told me, he goes, you know, focus. He goes, stop doing all the abs and all the stuff. He's like, focus on the forearms and the traps. It's the only thing people will see on camera. The cinema muscles. Yeah, that's it.
Do you think we should follow that through?
I mean, fix my workout today.
There you go, man. Just forearms and traps.
Forearms and traps. Again, so you got like career geography advice from Denzel, and then bodybuilding advice from Sly Stallone.
I'm hitting all the stops.
Damn straight you are.
Yeah.
Okay. True or false? You originally auditioned for the role of Rooster, Goose's son, in Top Gun Maverick.
That's true.
That is true.
Yeah.
So what happened?
So I auditioned for Rooster.
Mm-hmm.
Felt great about it, but got a call. I remember it was a July 3rd, 2007 or 2018.
Yes.
That I wasn't going to be Rooster. And I am a very patriotic guy. I was wearing literally an American flag tank top and aviators when I got that call. And immediately was in the fetal position. worst July 4th ever. But I got to say, I got a call from Cruz a few days later. And he was like, hey, I still want you to do the movie. And I was kind of on the fence. And so he and Jerry Bruckheimer said, come sit down with me and let's like talk it out. So I sat down with Tom in Jerry's office. And we talked about what kind of career I wanted and why I kind of didn't want to do the movie now that I didn't get that role. And and Tom was like, what kind of career do you want? I go, you, man. I'm trying to be you. You know?
It's like Tom Brady sitting down. Like, what sort of quarterback do you want to be?
The GOAT. I want to be the greatest of all time. And he goes, do you know how I do that? And I go, yeah, you choose great roles. He goes, no, I choose great movies and I make the roles great. And it kind of just changed my perspective on it, where even if you're a great player on a great team, right, it's better than being a star player on a losing team. You know, it's better to be, you know, on a championship team. And that was one of the things that Tom really changed my perspective on all that, where even being a small part of the Top Gun ride has changed my life forever. So I'm really glad I listened to him.
Well, part of my pitch would also be your name's Hangman. I mean, like, that's got to be, you got to get into that one, right? I mean, you got to, they had you at your call sign right there.
You know what's
right?
So crazy? We pitched a lot of call signs. I know you're a Jets guy.
Yeah.
But we were pitching a lot of different call signs.
Uh-huh.
And one of the call signs that was on that list, trying to figure out, because originally it was Slayer.
Slayer. Okay.
And in the initial meeting with the Navy, they're like, here's the difference between a Navy call sign and an Air Force call sign. Navy call signs are fun. You know, they're like, you know, Toots and Cookie and blah, blah, blah. Navy call signs are like Laser, Spine Ripper, Slayer. And I was like, well, I can't be like a Air Force call sign in a Navy movie.
Yes.
So I was like, all right, we got to figure out this call sign thing. So we went through a bunch of them, but one of them was Sauce.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of those call signs was Sauce.
Too much sauce. That would be my call sign.
That's your call sign, Sauce. Yeah.
Well, that is your call sign, right, Del Tufo? Because you're, you know, you're a big Bolognese guy. You know, Sauce. So how'd you just land on Hangman? Just came
Hangman. Hangman. I met this aviator, this guy who, you know, every when you talk to a naval aviator, there's a story they tell you of how they got their call sign, and then there's the real story. This guy, they call him Hangman. He's like, oh, you know, I don't know why they call me Hangman. Well, I was like, okay, whatever. And he was giving me kind of BS answer. And then I found out from his buddies why they called him Hangman. They found out a story when he was at a middle school dance.
Mm-hmm.
And he was worried that he was going to get excited while dancing with a girl.
Oh, goodness.
So he took his shoelace and he tied his thing around his leg. And it got stuck. He cinched himself in.
Mm-hmm.
And his buddy had to cut him out. So that's why they called him Hangman. Oh. Or actually, they called him Noose. And I took that.
Noose.
And they called him Noose. Oh. And I was like, that's too close to Goose. So
that's right.
We made a Hangman.
Greatest story ever.
Wow.
Honestly, I don't know how it could be a better story than that.
Pretty good.
Wow. Yeah. Fantastic. I've got a couple more for you here, Glenn Powell. Next one. You are now on Tom Cruise's special list and get a Christmas cake from him every Christmas. And it's delivered by private jet. Is that a true story or not?
I don't know how it gets there. It always gets there.
Okay.
Tom, I know that Tom has an operation, a cake operation around the world. The cakes are not getting flown for one location. I know that he has, this is what I've been told.
Yes.
I don't know this for sure. It's not super confirmed.
This is the legend of Tom Cruise's Christmas cake operation.
Because I asked this because I was like, how? It's like Santa. It's like asking Santa, like, how does he get around the world in one night? It doesn't make sense. So I asked the question, and apparently he finds the best bakeries in different big, like London, New York,
sure,
Chicago, LA, you know, wherever it is. And he will find the best bakeries, give them the recipe.
The recipe
to the cake.
I think I have
And he will ship them out from there. I don't know if it's by private jet, but I do know that there's a large cake operation going on probably as we speak.
I'm told this is either true or false, a coconut bund cake with chunks of white chocolate.
That's true.
I want that.
It's a damn good cake.
So he calls these bakeries and says, I don't want your best chocolate, a coconut bun cake. I want you to make.
No, he's got his thing. He's got I'm telling you, it's the best cake. I actually throw a party at my house whenever the cruise cake, since we shot the movie, I literally, when the cake comes in, my friends are like, hit me up like, hey, is the cruise cake here yet? Is the cruise cake here? So I'll literally have the cruise cake. I'll throw like a party and everybody can have a slice of the cake.
Just one? He just sends one?
Just one cake. Yeah. I don't think. Look,
you can't snore if Tom Cruise is making you if you're on the cake list.
Don't get what you don't ask for.
I just love it. Your friends are like, is the cruise cake here yet?
The cruise cake, yeah, it's legendary. Fantastic. I mean, it really is that good.
Fantastic. Incredible. Last one, true or false, Glenn Powell, you have a pet capuchin monkey named Charlie.
My Aunt Honey has a capuchin monkey named Charlie.
Not you.
No, I do not personally, I did not adopt Charlie myself, my family, but Charlie is part of the family. Charlie's been our family for probably 12 years now and is like a little brother. Probably the closest relationship I have in my life.
Actually. Okay, so I'm glad that we have these true or false segments to make sure. So there is a capuchin monkey named Charlie.
Yes.
He is part of your family.
Yes.
But he is not yours.
He's not mine. No. Again, there's a ranch in Texas. We all go to the ranch in Texas. It's a very wild place, but Charlie has his own setup, his own bedroom, watches cartoons. He, wears a diaper, can climb in trees. He's a good hang, Charlie.
So, and Charlie's your aunt's?
Yeah.
So he's your cousin.
Yes. Charlie's my cousin. That's a good family tree thing. Yeah. Charlie's my cousin.
Okay. Good thing we checked that out.
Yeah.
We checked that out. Okay. So if you had a pet, would you name him Arch?
Big Longhorn fan.
Are you ready for your program to be bestowed with a Manning? Are you ready for this?
I am so excited. I got to say, I was at that TCU game. I was on the sidelines. I know Arch was also there. I'm just like looking over him, just trying to instill confidence. Like, hey, man, whenever you get here, we're going to be good.
Did you approach him or you just?
No, I didn't say it. I didn't say anything. I will say that the best thing about having a Manning come to your school is that it really does change. It's already changed our recruiting. You know, it's like when you have all these top receivers and they know a Manning's going to be thrown to them, it's like, it's the best. I'm feeling optimistic. Mm-hmm. I'm an optimistic guy. I've been feeling optimistic about the Longhorns for a long time, but I really do feel like, you know, Sark is the right guy. And I feel like, you know, with a Manning at the, you know, with a Manning at the head, I think we're going to be great.
Oh, yeah. You know, someone else is very optimistic is the man behind you, TJ Jefferson, who believes that he will be a billionaire because you bought every Arch Manning card, right? Look, you're already in the Arch Manning card.
Glenn, I've already got Manning cards, high school cards. I'm ready to buy a boat in a few years. Me and Brockman have already sized him up for his Hall of Fame jacket. Man, we have got Buswell already made his bust. Like, we're all in on Arch. And so,
I hope your stock pays off. I would love that. I'm ready for the Longhorns to get back to a really competitive program.
Already,
it was really
fun. I think
they're
already there, don't you think? I mean, they gave Alabama a run for their money. Everybody thought that was a blowout.
Amazing. Yeah, right? I mean, that's the thing is when it's really interesting. It's the Longhorn mentality is they come ready for real bouts, mm-hmm. right? When, you know, Bama, they have a great underdog mentality.
Yes.
And you saw them turn it on Bama, and it was so fun to watch. It's just, you can't let them get complacent, you know? And I really feel like if they can keep that ferocity, I honestly think, you know, I remember when, you know, it was McCoy and Shipley and that sort of era when we were back to the championships, you know, and freaking the Vince Young era. I mean, it was just such a special time to be a Longhorn. So
that Rose Bowl.
Oh, my God. Doesn't get any better.
Still one of the greatest college football
games. Maybe the best of all time.
Man. I know that. And the greatest college football stadium on the planet, the Rose Bowl, man.
Yeah.
What a night that was.
That was incredible.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, Keith Jackson with the call. When Vince runs in the end zone. Yeah. Where were you?
I was actually on UT campus watching that game. I remember I was in high school at the time. I think I was a sophomore. I remember dancing, you know, on top of cars, like in the bed of a truck, looking up at the UT tower all lit up. It was like everybody was out there going nuts.
Of course.
But I've been a Longhorn fan like my whole life, so it's just as good as it gets.
Of course. This is before Denzel told you to move to Hollywood. Yeah, exactly. You were on the cruise cake list.
Yeah.
Oh, the cruise cake list. That's a good fantasy team.
Cruise cake list? Write it down. Yeah. We when things are said on this show, we write it down for potential fantasy team name use.
Actually, cruise cake list is a great fantasy name.
That's right. So the avatar would have to be cruise, not the cake, right? Don't you think?
Yeah, you'd have to have. I'm sure there's some picture of Cruz eating a cake. Okay. I've never seen it, but I'm sure we could find it.
Okay.
Oh yeah, and Outsiders, Cruz ate a cake when he played. I believe he played Steve. So there's a shot. Of
that's a very that's specific. That's thing creepy. To pull that is very out.
Probably the last time he ate cake.
I'm very impressed with that.
That's funny. He gives out cakes. He probably doesn't eat it.
Yeah. No, that was like my thought is like the guy is like one of the most impressive specimens. Like there's no fluff in terms of what he eats, and so I can't imagine he's taking out that cake because it's really damn good, but he lets all the rest of us get fat.
I love it. Devotion is, again, in theaters next week, Wednesday, November 23rd, and it's based on the best-selling book by the same name. Before we go, I forgot what my name is. I guess we did this when John Hamm was here, right, to promote Top Gun Maverick. What my call name? Hotshot. There I am.
Hotshot.
That photograph, it belies the nickname right there,
that's
I think.
Great.
But I was Hotshot right there.
Also a Longhorn, John Hamm.
Oh, is he really?
A Longhorn, yeah.
I didn't know
Cowboys
that.
Cowboys fan.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic.
By the way, guys, I just looked this up just randomly. This headline, Tom Cruise had to eat chocolate cake for 3 days straight while shooting The Outsiders. Quote, I was vomiting.
There you go.
So
that's a good thing.
Might be the last time he did eat the cake.
Thank you for coming on, sir.
Appreciate
it. I really appreciate it. Absolutely. Anytime. At Glenn Powell on Twitter and Instagram. Again, Devotion is available exclusively in theaters next week on Wednesday, November 23rd. Everybody check that out. We're back to wrap this show up with one last thought I had about Tom Brady, getting to speak with him. The Tom Cruise of football. There were no cakes.
Let's take a second to talk about something businesses love, reaching audiences. Amazon Ads helps brands connect with audiences through their passions. Here are some examples. You can huddle up with sports fans during Thursday Night Football exclusively on Prime Video, or connect with all the creative communities on Twitch and show up for streamers when they binge watch their favorite shows. Audiences know what they like, and with touch points for every passion, Amazon Ads knows how to reach them.
On a beautiful run through the park on a pleasant day, you can easily get lost.
No, no, no! She didn't kill him.
Huh? In your true crime podcast.
It was the pool guy. So obvious.
Whatever motivates you works for us. It's all about letting your run be your run. And Brooks is here for every runner, doing the research and sweating the details to create gear that works for you. It's your run. Brooks, run happy.
Find the latest and greatest audio entertainment on Audible. It's got everything you want to hear, including this program, The Rich Eisen Show. Along with podcasts, you'll also find audiobooks and exclusive originals. We're talking comedy, sports stories, deep dives with athletes and entertainers, business, and anything else that you're into. With Audible, you get access to thousands of included titles with more added every week. Listen on the road, at the gym, or anywhere you want to fuel up your imagination. Join and get 30 days free at the home of storytelling, audible.com. So doing the game, when you broadcast a game, when you do the play-by-play or you do the analysis, the idea is to meet with both teams. If you can go to practice, you go to practice. That's a John Madden thing. Go to practice, watch him practice. And pick up whatever you can pick up. You interview the coaches, preferably the quarterbacks. And so we saw Seattle first, and they arrived from the plane and were hopping around practice. Like they immediately got on the field, and before they started practicing, they got in a big, huge, large circle, jumping up and down. I think Sarah Walsh took a video of it and said, Seahawks won, jet lag, nothing. That's what she tweeted out, and it was true. And it was just like watching that practice, it was they were all one unit, and they were all just pulsing with energy. And you spoke to them afterwards, too. We spoke to Pete Carroll and Kenneth Walker and Geno Smith and Ryan Neal, who is laugh out loud hilarious. I can't wait to have him on here. And I did tell Kenneth Walker that Michigan State refused to allow us to give him an NIL deal and told him that he needs to call Michigan State's SID and coach and ask for $1,000.
Oh, did he just laugh?
He kind of didn't know how to take it.
Oh.
And I'm like, I'm being serious.
Yeah.
Like, your school is the only school that did not allow us to give an NIL deal to someone. I told him that. I don't know if that's why he only had 10 yards rushing. But
hey, he needed to know.
And that's the whole thing, too, is that, you know, I saw that from the Seahawks, and I'm like, they are wired. They're in a four-game win streak. And the Bucs were a lot more low-key. And then speaking to Brady, I mean, you could sense, like, he was not backing down on anything that he said, you know, in his podcast about the energy, the effort level was embarrassing on game day.
Yep. Rich, not to interrupt, but like when you get Tom Brady, is it just like you guys all in one room?
We were in a conference room in the Bucks hotel, and it was Tom, you know,
Bucks rep, I imagine.
Yes. And all of us doing the game and the producer. Okay. And Sarah Walsh, who was the Bucks sideline reporter. And I think Andy Gregg of the NFL Network was in the room, too. And we're just sitting there talking. And Brady was talking. He said, everything is below the line right now. Effort. And Kurt was like, so what are you seeing? Like, that's not working. And he kind of gave Kurt a look like, aren't you watching the film? and he was straight up honest, saying how, you know, he believed in the guys, that the room... That the way that the game ended the week before was definitely something that could be built on.
Yeah.
And all that they were saying, like the Seahawks were bouncing off the walls, and everybody from the Bucks was like, all we got to do is win this game, get to the bye week, we're 5-5, and then we'll see what we can do. And I thought to myself,
business trip, man.
No doubt.
Yeah.
And Brady, again, he struck me as somebody fully engaged. Whatever you want to say about what he was, distracted, disinterested, the words that we've heard, dispassionate,
since
whatever.
August, really, yeah.
And I saw a fully engaged guy who, by the way, had come off seven straight games with 40 or more attempts, first time in his career. And he looked like he was 22. I'm serious. Just seeing him in person was just, because we were all saying he looks gaunt. You know what? Mm-hmm. Not in person.
Not in person?
No. No, and he was chill, but he was straight up honest. Like, this is not the way we can play, and this is not the way, you know, we want this to go. And he's not used to it. He wasn't used to, like, talking, you know, having a running back constantly run into the linebacker because there's a missed block, missed assignment, this that sort of thing. Totally not used to it. To the point where I asked him, I'm like, because, like, where do you go from here? And I'm like, is Gronk done? And he said he was. Like, Gronk's not walking through that door.
Hasn't talked to him?
And
or...
I didn't ask him that. I asked him if he's spoken to Odell.
Oh.
And he said, you know, not lately.
Oh, thank you.
Was his answer. But in terms of Gronk walking through that door, that ain't happening.
Yeah.
No.
I don't need Odell if Julio's playing like that.
Well, that's the issue, too, is, you know, Julio could play like that now, but then next week he's not healthy, whatever. But the team that I saw on that field in Munich, okay, like, again, it was just one game, and we hadn't seen anything like that in a while. That's the team that can win
good.
A lot.
They were good.
And win and beat pretty much anybody, which is running downhill. Rashad White, a revelation. If he can run like that, he threw Quandre Diggs out of the club. That was even my call.
Oh, yeah. Get out of
and,
here.
And if you watch it, the call back, you know, it's on Twitter or whatever. There's this long pause. I thought some of the guys would be chiming in as we're reviewing going to break because it was a commercial break after he stiff-armed him. The thing I was going to say, and I kind of felt bad. I'm like, he threw Diggs out of the club, and I just said what was in my mind, right?
Yeah, it was a wild moment.
I was going to say that, you know, he can declare Diggs' soul at customs, but I thought that was a little step too far.
Piling on.
So, but I did say that he could declare that at customs. Yeah. So I kind of left Diggs out of it, even though I'm kind of throwing his name out here now. But, I mean, Rashad White can run like that, and it's still Brady looks
his arm is
really
great.
Good.
Yeah.
And they were saying Godwin's finally getting back to himself. Evans is Evans. They just need that tight end. Like Gronk, that red zone threat that Gronk was. Not only that, running the ball too. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer blocker. For a reason.
Yeah.
And they're K-Dotten hoping.
K-Dotten can do
that's
it.
That's the guy that they're hoping on.
Cameron Brait is back.
Brait just got back, but I don't know. Honestly, that I think Otten's the one that they're looking at that could maybe sustain for the rest of the year because Brait got hurt and, had a neck and then a concussion. He's finally back. And Kyle Rudolph, even though he was there and looked great, he couldn't have been nicer. He was inactive. Yeah. I don't know. But defensively, you know, Devin White was dealing with, I guess, the passing of his dad.
Yeah. You
can and tell he was
playing.
He was just, he was firing off. And Vita Vea, seeing him in person, one of the most massive individuals I've seen. And we asked him how much he weighed. He said 360. And I thought to myself, that's an NFL 360 right there. Boom. I mean, seriously.
Wow.
So, hey, Bucks fans, you know, and Brady came out of that game energized. Energized. They're going to go on their bye week, and we'll see what happens from here on out. But that team I saw in Munich is a team that can maybe go to Arizona. And I'm not just saying that because
they're
in my. Yeah, they will.
Yeah, they're
going to
have a home playoff game.
Maybe against the Giants or the Cowboys.
Dude.
They'll take their chances there. But that'll wrap it up for this show. We'll talk about Wednesday on Roku in a second.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
Ramit Sethi, talking about being rich.
The old definition of rich had a lot to do with how much money you accumulated, but it wasn't about how to spend it. It was more about how to get it. But okay, so once you get it, what do you do with it?
In our culture, everybody tells you how to save, but nobody teaches you how to spend it.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.